This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. I'm Joe Palca, sitting in for Ira Flatow. Last Sunday, millions of NFL fans saw Buffalo Bills football player Kevin Everett tackle a Denver Broncos player and then fall face down on the turf, unable to move. Everett, we later learned, had damaged his spinal cord. As he was being rushed to the hospital in an ambulance, doctors tried an experimental treatment on him. They pumped cold saline into him to lower his body temperature. Some are saying that inducing hypothermia may have helped limit the damage to Mr. Everett's spinal cord. So should everyone who suffers a spinal cord injury be treated with hypothermia? Joining me now to talk more about this is my guest, Dr. John McDonald. He's the director of the International Center for Spinal Cord Injury at the Kennedy Krieger Institute in Baltimore, Maryland. He joins me by phone. Welcome to the program, Dr. McDonald.
Oh, glad to help out.
So what was the point of using this cold saline on this football player's injury? What were doctors trying to accomplish with this?
Yeah, and then let me discuss that, and I'd like to back up and talk about the factors that contributed to his good recovery to date. Research in animals and in culture dishes have demonstrated that if you lower the temperature, that molecular mechanisms go slower, those molecular mechanisms that are involved in progressing the injury. So when you have a trauma to the spinal cord, that's just the beginning of the injury, and it evolves over the next 24 hours. So if you can intervene in the minutes to hours after the injury and prevent its progression, you can limit a lot of the eventual dysfunction. So now, although this has not been proven in humans, they first started using hypothermia in trials and brain injury, and that's come up with equivocal results. So there's no evidence to support its use in humans yet. Now, we do use it in other areas. So when we have to arrest the heart to treat aneurysms and other brain and heart issues, they lower the body temperature tremendously, much more than they did in Mr. Everett's case. So suffice to say that there's experimental evidence that hasn't been proven in humans yet that says that you can lower the body temperature slightly and perhaps there's an improvement and there's not that much of a risk. If you lower the body temperature tremendously, there's a lot of risks, but they didn't do that in this case. But let me back up and say why I believe he's done so well.
Mm-hmm.
First, he had exemplary treatment from the moment he was injured through the acute surgery. So I believe there's two factors that are critical for his early success. The first one is the fact that he was treated with another drug, methylprednisolone, nearly immediately.
Is that a steroid kind of drug?
That's right.
So it reduces inflammation?
Yeah, this is a drug that's been shown in multi-center clinical trials in spinal cord injury to show some benefit, although it's a small benefit. But keep in mind that the average individual that has trauma to the spinal cord, it nearly takes 4.5 hours before they receive that drug. The difference with the NFL has done a wonderful job over this last decade. The NFL players that have spinal cord injuries can receive that drug in as low as 15 minutes. In the animal studies, if you treat animals that have a spinal cord injury with this drug, it works very effectively in the first half hour, and then it very quickly wanes off in terms of effectiveness. So if you give it at the same time point most humans get it, 4.5 hours, in animals it's not very effective. But if you give it in the first 15 minutes, you can block 3/4 of the progression of the injury.
So you sound like you're suggesting that may have been the more important variable in the treatment than the cool saline.
Yes, and there was a second thing. Let me finish. The second thing is that he had the best of care in emergency technicians and then initially at the hospital. They did emergent decompression surgery. So more compelling evidence at the basic science level in animals and early evidence in humans suggests that early decompression of the spinal cord is a critical event.
And what do you mean by decompression?
Yeah, let me explain. So what happens after an injury to the spinal cord? The spine breaks, and it's now pinching the spinal cord. But just like if someone punches in the eye, the spinal cord rapidly swells, and now it's in this fixed bony canal called the spinal canal. But some of those fragments that are broken are pushing on the spinal cord. If you can relieve that pressure, you can limit the secondary progression of injury. What happens? That additional pressure causes more of a stroke. and leads to further progression of the injury. So early decompression and then surgical stabilization, where they go in and they put hardware in and make the spine stable, that also allows very early rehabilitation. So Mr. Everett had the best of care from the minute on the field through the NFL and the work that they've done ahead of time. They were prepared for these accidents. Then the emergency medical technicians did everything right in terms of stabilizing the spine and not worsening the injury by inappropriately moving the head. And then at the hospital, they also did the right thing. They operated immediately.
Right.
On average, most people are not operated on in the first 12 hours. You know, we're trying to change that. So the two biggest factors where there's good scientific evidence to support their benefit is the early delivery of the methylprednisolone, the drug that reduces swelling and edema. And then the second one is the early surgery and decompression. Now, let me say a few things about hypothermia. So I laid out the basic science evidence in support of this. They've done limited trials of this in traumatic brain injury where it has not proven to be a benefit. But that's just a first try. It has not been trialed in spinal cord injury adequately. So suffice it to say, there's no evidence out there that in humans this is of benefit. Now, but there is scientific evidence at the basic science level to say it may help. And it may have helped. But I can tell you that it's a distant third in terms of benefits compared to the early delivery of methylprednisolone and the early surgery and decompression. Those two things account for three-quarters at minimum of his enhanced recovery.
I see. So in a sense, this is not something that's going to be available, all three of these things that you mentioned, perhaps maybe the early surgery, but this is an unusual circumstances where you basically have a medical professionals watching an event unfold so that if something happens, they can pounce and do what they do best.
That's right. But we can take advantage of this. You know, we had a patient, Sam Schmidt, who was injured in Indy 500 racing accident. And unfortunately, they weren't prepared. They didn't have methylprednisolone. Now methylprednisolone's at all the IRL racing tracks. You know, methylprednisolone needs to be at all the football games at college and at high school. They need to prepare and practice these things like the NFL did. And this is doable. It is also doable for people to receive methylprednisolone in the field. So why is it that the average person that has trauma from a motor vehicle accident, it takes 4.5 hours to receive methylprednisolone? Well, the EMTs in the field can't deliver it because it needs to be mixed up right away, and it's an unstable compound. So they have to wait till they get to the hospital. They need to be assessed. Then the order needs to go into the pharmacy. The pharmacy mixes it up. By the time all that happens, they've missed the window of opportunity. It is, however, possible, and there's precedence for this. You can create a multi-break bag so that it keeps the drug stability. All the emergency technician would need to do is break the seal between the two bags, and they could deliver it in the field.
Well, it sounds like there may be some good news to come out of this for the future. Dr. McDonald, thank you very much for joining us and explaining this to us.
Oh, you're very, very welcome.
Dr. John McDonald is director of the International Center for Spinal Cord Injury at the Kennedy Krieger Institute in Baltimore, Maryland.